Well, I want to preach to you this afternoon from Mark chapter 10. For those who have Bibles, I'm going to be looking at verses 46 to 52, the story of blind Bartimaeus. Have you ever heard about this guy? Well, hopefully I'll be able to open this up well enough that you'll feel like you know him by the time I get done. Why don't we bow together for prayer? Oh Lord, we praise you that we can be here this afternoon and realize your presence with us, your power to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will come and make inroads into our lives so that our faith in you will be strengthened, that we will be lifted up to behold the glory of you, our Savior. And we pray that we would be able to receive all the truth that you have for us here this afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, it says, "Then they came to Jericho," that is Jesus and all who are with him. "And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man to him, 'Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Well, the story of blind Bartimaeus is a story of faith in exercise. Faith in Jesus Christ, which is put into fervent exercise, will always obtain what it is seeking for, if it is according to the will of God. So this afternoon, we want to look together at this man's exercise of faith, which is so very commendable. And we want to ask ourselves, if we have this kind of faith, do you have this kind of faith in exercise? Do I have this kind of faith in exercise? If we do, we shall indeed find salvation and eternal life. And many other blessings as well. Our faith will make us well. It will make us well over and over again on the way to heaven. There are three double acts of faith which Bartimaeus exhibits for us here in his seeking and finding of this great miracle from Jesus. First of all, we will think about his begging and his crying. Then we will look at his rising and throwing off. And third, we will think about his receiving and his following Jesus. First of all, let's think about the faith of Bartimaeus and his begging and crying. Bartimaeus was unable to see. He had apparently been in this condition since he was born. He was also poor. He was a beggar who had for many years been forced to sit and beg alms from people who were passing by. When it comes to the condition of all men, whether they like to admit it or not, they too are blind from birth in regard to spiritual things. A person cannot see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, Jesus says in John 3:3. They cannot perceive it spiritually. They cannot see or understand or discern spiritual things. he does not have the faculty of spiritual sight. A person who is spiritually blind does not, which all of us are from birth. The sin which was committed by our first forefather Adam in the Garden of Eden has affected all men in their nature. His sin has robbed us of our spiritual sight. The eye of the body is that faculty which takes in the images of the real world around us, and it's able to transfer those images to our brain so that in our understanding, real comprehension of what exists takes place in our mind. I see you now. I know how many people there are in the room here, and I know that you're listening to me. You see, but a blind man cannot see things. He cannot discern things. He cannot do this unless by some way of groping or feeling, his other senses allow him to pick it up, his sense of hearing or his sense of touch. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us about what it means to be spiritually blind. It says, but the natural man, that is the person who has never come to know Christ yet, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man is the man without Christ. And since he's without Christ, he's without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit's working in his mind, which can alone give him sight. Once a person has believed in Christ, then they have the Spirit, and their eyes of their understanding, the eyes of their heart, are opened to comprehend spiritual things. Now that's really something quite amazing to think about. I think that many times we believe that if we just simply try to understand something spiritual that we can. But what the Bible teaches us is that since we're blind spiritually from birth, we can't do that. In other words, we won't see even our need of Christ unless somebody comes and preaches it to you like I'm doing now. It says here in 1 Corinthians 2, once again, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ. It says, nor can he know them. He can't understand them. He can't perceive them, the importance of them, or the significance of them. They're foolishness to him. They're strange to him. So remember this, dear believer in Christ, when you see people in the world acting foolishly and scoffing at the true religion of the Bible, they are blind. And you should not so much grow angry with them as you should pity them and pray for them. They do not see the kingdom of God. Dear ones who listen to me here this afternoon, ask yourself if you are able to see things spiritually. Do you pray to be able to see things spiritually? When you're in a worship service like this, are you praying in your spirit that you would behold the beauty and glory of the Lord at this hour, at this time? You see, Bartimaeus, because he was also poor, was forced to become a beggar to people around him. He could not see to provide for his own needs, so he needed to beg for his living. Spiritual blindness results in people being poor, spiritually speaking, as well. They are not spiritually rich toward God. They don't give themselves to God to work in their hearts to change them to be the kind of people who would please God. Those who would begin to keep His commandments. Now, this spiritual blindness is willful in them. In other words, they not only can't comprehend spiritual things, but they don't want to. They aren't really willing to learn what it might mean to come to know Christ by nature. Now, if you are seeking, it's because the Lord is working in your heart. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says there's none that seeks after God by nature. No, not one. But the Holy Spirit does come and strive with us. He does come and work in our heart to cause us to see spiritual things, even when the preaching of the Word is taking place like I'm doing with you now. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that spiritually blind person doesn't know how to discern the difference even between right and wrong necessarily. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't be a moral person and not be saved. A person can be a moral person and not be saved. A person can even know right from wrong and not be saved. Not have any interest in being saved. Why is that? Well, I think most of the time it's because that person who is morally discerning but not saved thinks that God will accept them because of the good works that they do or because they've gone to church all their life. You mean to say to me, you say that I could go to church all my life and not be saved? Yes, that's possible. That's possible. It's because you're not saved by ritual religion. You're not saved by going to church or taking sacraments. You are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you come to have spiritual sight. Now, many people will not beg of God like this man did to have spiritual sight. However, it would be good for me to say and to acknowledge that there are some people who are blind who are to be highly commended for their working hard at trying to do what they can to work with their disability. Some blind people have great self-motivation. I once knew a man when I was going to college years ago who was blind, and every morning he would bathe himself, dress himself, and take up his long walking stick and go off to class. And I once asked him how he knew where he was going. He said to me, "I count all of my steps to each of my classes, and I count them in relation to every place that I desire to go on my own. And then I carefully walk," he says, "the path, counting the steps, and I arrive at my desired destination." Well, this is indeed very commendable, and it shows a good determination to do what he could to overcome his disability. But the spiritually blind person thinks that they can make the best of their blind situation by not desiring any help from others, not counting their own steps. They still want to believe that they will arrive at the desired destination of heaven by willfully holding on to their blindness. They actually think that it is something that is good and desirable for them to have. But as Job says in Job 31:4, "Does not God see my ways and count all my steps?" Well, yes, he does, and he is the great judge and evaluator of our lives. He counts all of our steps even when we don't. And he will see to it that we will arrive at our desired destination if it is his good will. But if the unrighteous person does not ask for help and guidance from Christians in relation to the meaning of life, then they won't consider how they should live and what will happen to them when they die. And all of this is so because they're spiritually blind. Often, unfortunately, they will look to be helped from others who are spiritually blind. They will take their cues on the meaning of life from others who are themselves spiritually blind and worldly minded. And the Lord Jesus says of them, "If the blind lead the blind, will they not both fall into a pit?" And in the context, when Jesus said these words, he was speaking of the Pharisees and those people who listened to them. And in John chapter 9, after Jesus healed a blind man born that way from birth, he said to him and to the Pharisees who were standing by, who did not approve of Jesus' healing him, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Then it says that some of the Pharisees who were with him, when they heard these words, they said to him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus had to say to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' and therefore your sin remains." So people without grace, people who try to be religious, without the faculty of spiritual sight being given to them by God, will often strenuously assert that they do see when they really do not see. Only Christ and His touch giving them spiritual sight will bring them to a true sense of their own sinfulness and their inability to discern things spiritually. There are so many things that you cannot do well when you cannot see. You cannot see if you look all right when you put your clothes on in the morning. You cannot see at all to see if you look right after you have put them on. You just can't do it. You have no ability to look into the mirror to comb your hair or to see if you're clothes are arranged right on you or not. And you depend totally upon your sense of touch to do those things. So it is also that people who do not have Christ, people who do not have grace, cannot do many things well or many things right either. They do not see what they are like before God. They do not see their shortcomings, their weaknesses, their sinful failures to do God's will. They have no real ability to straighten these things out in their life without help. They really need to be given their spiritual sight, but they cannot do this on their own. Someone else must help them. The only one who can give you spiritual sight is Jesus Christ. Now let me ask each one here this afternoon, if you have consciously begged mercy from God, from Christ, to be able to see spiritually. To be able to see spiritually. Are you willing to beg God to send Christ to your blinded mind and clouded heart to open the eyes of your heart so that you can see if you don't see? Are you willing to cry out to Christ who is passing by in this, the preaching of the word here today, so that you might have your spiritual sight? This is what this man Bartimaeus did to get his physical sight. But you see, in spiritual things, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. And this man heard that it was Jesus who was passing by. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, somebody tells him. And he had heard before this that Jesus was able to heal the sick and give the blind their sight. And so he prayed the right kind of prayer to have the Lord Jesus consider his plight. He cried out and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And in this prayer, he showed that he believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Son of David, who had been promised in the Scriptures, and that he personally needed to be shown mercy. He needed to be shown mercy to have his sins forgiven, and he needed mercy to hopefully receive the gift of sight when he got Jesus' attention. And this leads me to say that there are many people who tend to think that they ought to be forgiven of their sins without ever asking to be shown mercy. But if this is so, they have not really seen how unworthy they are of the least of God's mercy. Some people think that they deserve to be shown these mercies. But they do not see the depth of their own sinfulness and their unworthiness before God. And so sometimes I'm saying you have to cry out when others think that you ought to cease crying out to God. Now that's what some of the people on the sidelines thought when they saw a blind Bartimaeus crying out to have the Lord have mercy on him. They said, shh, don't do that. They didn't want to bother the Lord Jesus. But I'm saying true faith, sincere faith, will keep crying. And it will keep crying out until it has Christ's attention. Is a person who's lost in the woods, do they stop crying out? Oh no. They cry out until somebody comes to them and finds them. See, that's the way that you ought to be with Jesus. If you don't know Him, that's the way that you ought to be. And then let's think about Bartimaeus' faith and his rising and his throwing off his cloak. It says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and then he called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. This is such a fine picture of the love of Jesus Christ. He's surrounded by his disciples with a great multitude of people following him out of Jericho, and it says he stood still. Can you imagine? He's being carried along by all these people. He's walking right along, and all of a sudden, he just stops and stands perfectly still. And Jesus will, for the fervent cry of one needy person, stand still. And Jesus, now having all power and authority in heaven and earth at his disposal, he has the wonderful ability to stand still and consider you individually of all the people in the earth. Did you know that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father on high? And he has all power in heaven and earth, and he has eyes that can see you right where you are. Out of all the people on the earth. And he attends to billions at the same time. But you see, he's fully God and fully man, and he can do that. Oh, how you and I need to remember that. Well, the disciples who stood by, now they tried to encourage Bartimaeus with what he could not see. Jesus standing still for him. Be of good cheer, they say to him. He's calling for you. The faith of a person who is praying that the Lord will save them or help them should be encouraged by those who realize what is going on. Those who know the promises of the Lord Jesus should relate them to the one who is seeking. They should assure them to be of good cheer. Do you know someone who is seeking Christ? You should tell them, be of good cheer. For that's the best possible place that they can be at. It says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. It says in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will not cast out. Be of good cheer, for Christ stands still for you to save you and to do what only He can do. So let us who are believers and disciples encourage the hearts of seekers with Christ's promises of mercy. Bartimaeus rose to these words of Christ's disciples, and he believed that Christ would show mercy to him and hear his request. It says that he threw aside his garment. He threw aside his garment. He rose and came to Jesus. His garment was his beggar's cloak. That's what he threw aside. It was the thing that he trusted would show people that he was in need and that they should give to him to help him. But Bartimaeus cast it away. He cast away his own worthiness, his own righteousness, and every obstacle which might come to his mind as to why Jesus should not answer him. He believed Jesus would answer him. He rose and came to Jesus. Dear listener who is near to the kingdom of God, do you see that you cannot find eternal and everlasting life and have assurance of it unless you cast everything away related to your old natures trying to justify you, to declare you righteous before God? That garment of self-sufficiency that you wear, that I can do this on my own, I can make it possible for myself to get to heaven by my good works. Oh no, you will never make it. I can take care of myself. I really don't need grace. Oh, you really do need grace. See, that's self-sufficiency. When you think, I can do this without grace. I can do this without help from God or from Christ. But no, you need to realize that you need to cast away that garment of self-righteousness. If you come to Christ, Christ is going to give you a better garment, a perfect robe of righteousness that you wear in the sight of God. That's what justification is all about. Being declared righteous by God. And Christ died for your sins. And you take to yourself His righteousness. And He takes to Himself your sins. That's the great transaction. That's how you come to know the Lord. But when you come to know the Lord, then you are wrapped in a robe of righteousness so that God sees you as though He's looking at Christ. He sees you as the perfect one, the holy one, that Christ actually is. But because of grace, that's how God sees you. This is really important that we understand that. You need to pray. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't understand what I'm talking about here today, God can reveal Himself to you. You know, Jesus asked this man, "What do you want me to do for you?" I mean, Jesus knew what this man needed to have done for him. And yet He asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "Rabboni," or teacher, "that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "You go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Why does Jesus command prayer of us when He already knows what we need before we ask? It is because He loves to hear your voice. He loves to be in relationship to you and to have fellowship with you. Remember this, beloved, for Jesus loves to hear and answer prayer. If you do not understand, you come to Jesus and say the same thing as Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight, my great one, Rabboni." Not only teacher, it can be translated, but also my great one. "Let me receive my sight." And He says, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Now let's see from this incident that Jesus gives the greatest of blessings, the greatest of blessings to those who will ask Him. Will you not ask Him? You see, when you exercise your faith in the Lord Jesus, He is well able to forgive all your sins and make you well. The most important part of wellness is not the body. It's the soul. Remember the promises of God and be strengthened in your heart to continue to trust in Christ for everything related to life and godliness. Believe that Christ is full of mercy, full of goodness, and He is asking you even now, what do you want me to do for you? Tell Him what you would like Him to do for you to heal your soul and make you well. And then remember what He's called you to. He's called you to follow Him based upon the grace that He supplies. May your response be worthy of His call. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we ask that You will seal these truths to our hearts, that we will see that it is You who gives us spiritual sight, that it is You who loves to answer prayer and to even hear our voice crying to You when we have needs that we cannot meet in ourselves, especially spiritual needs. Lord, we pray that You will strengthen the bodies and the souls of all the dear ones here in this nursing home today to realize that You are the author of life, the one who through whom the world was created and all things in it, including ourselves. Help us to see the Lord Jesus as being who He is, that great. And may we receive Him today. May we receive Him anew and afresh, day by day, because we know we need Your grace, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Your precious name. Amen.